Radio Prague News.
Party leader Jiří Paroubek has indicated that the Social Democrats will probably not join a four-party ruling coalition. Customs officers at a supplier's in Brno have confiscated counterfeit goods worth 80 million crowns. A 16-year-old boy and his 20-year-old accomplice have been charged with theft with regards to an attack on a loans and debts representative on Friday. The leader of the Social Democratic Party, Jiří Paroubek, has suggested it would be better for his party not to join a four-party ruling coalition being proposed by Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek. Speaking on a Czech TV news program on Sunday, Mr. Paroubek stressed that he couldn't imagine the Social Democrats joining a government that would rule for only 1.5 years. The Prime Minister's plan suggests the government would run the country until the spring of 2008. On Sunday, Mr. Paroubek said that his party had already rejected similar proposals in recent months and indicated preference for a proposal counting on just two other parties in government with longer mandate. The Social Democrats are to make public their decision on Monday. The Minister for Regional Development, Petr Gandalovich, has said he is in favor of eventual changes that would redefine the legal relationship between landlords and tenants, namely in cases of apartments falling under regulated rent. In the 1990s, in the Czech Republic, many property owners gained tenants along with previous property confiscated by the communist regime. Mr. Gandalovich, speaking on TV Prima on Sunday, said he imagined a socially acceptable period that would act as a buffer before decrees on apartments were replaced by mutually agreed contracts between landlords and tenants. Mr. Gandalovich was debating Social Democrat MP Stanislav Křeček, who opposed the idea. Mr. Křeček countered by saying that young families starting out couldn't be expected to sign leases limited to terms of 1 or 2 years. Customs officers in the Czech Republic's second-largest city of Brno confiscated counterfeit goods on Sunday worth an estimated 80 million crowns, the equivalent of around 3.7 million U.S. dollars. Police moved in at a supplier's in what was the third day of raids at markets in various parts of the country. A spokesman said that it was one of the most successful raids ever in the South Moravian region. Most of the products confiscated are imitation brand-name goods, perfumes, textiles, and entertainment goods weighing in at a total of around 50 tons. The Brno site raided on Sunday is not open to the general public, but strictly to retailers. A 16-year-old boy and his 20-year-old accomplice have been charged with theft with regards to an attack on a loans and debt representatives on Friday. The two, using a meat tenderizer, attacked the representative of Provident Financial Home Credit when he came to their address. A third person, a female, was also present. The man attacked suffered a blow to the head but managed to escape and is being treated in hospital. Police arrested the two suspects within 24 hours. And finally, just a quick look at the weather. The beginning of the week should see highs of around 10 degrees Celsius and drizzly conditions, drizzling rain. I'm Jan Fellinger, and that's the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague, and I'm Ian Willoughby. In today's program, we answer your letters in mailbox. Emily Udell has this week's letter from Prague. And that's followed by our classical music program, Encore. Today we hear some organ music from the hard-to-pronounce town of Kroměříž and a CD of contemporary Czech music in the Přítomnost series. Stay tuned for that, but first let's meet Pavla Horáková with this week's mailbox.
Welcome to Mailbox. Thanks again for the multitude of emails we have received over the past week, including competition entries and reception reports, as well as your comments and questions. There has been one recurrent theme in your emails in recent weeks, and that is bouncing mails. This is what Gautam Kumar Sharma from India wrote.
I've sent several emails to you from my different email accounts, but some of them have bounced back. I don't know why. A friend of mine also informed me that he had the same experience with your email a few days back. Please look into the matter. This is the first time I've faced such a problem with the Radio Prague email address since I started using the internet as a medium of correspondence with Radio Prague from mid-October 2002. Recently, my email regarding the November quiz was shown as bounced back.
We discussed the problem in last week's mailbox. I have again asked our internet department about the matter. The problem appears to be the fact that the Czech radio mailing system recognizes emails coming from certain servers or written without punctuation or in block letters as spam and filters them out. At that instance, you are notified automatically that your message has bounced. But as a matter of fact, our internet department then manually scour the filtered out mail and retrieve the messages which are not spam and forward them to us. And so far, all the messages that you reported to me as bounced have got to us safely. K. Thiagarajan from India was actually the first one to complain about the bouncing emails and was quoted in last Sunday's mailbox. He's written in again this week.
I found that one letter from India has complained about poor reception condition in India. Really, this is a great concern. Compared to the previous schedule, this time reception for some frequencies are not so audible. I already brought this into your consideration. Radio Deutsche Welle and Radio Canada International are covering India through relay transmitters situated near India. I suggest you may also try to beam broadcasts to India via some relay transmitters, but this may be quite cost-effective. But in program quality, you're giving us wonderful content, and it should always be congratulated to the Radio Prague team.
Thank you, and thank you also for letting us know about the reception in India. All your complaints and suggestions are forwarded to our shortwave experts, and they are examining the cases. In fact, bad reception has also been reported in Canada this week. Mary Lou Kranek from Texas has responded to our special program on November the 17th, the anniversary of the start of the Velvet Revolution.
It only seems as yesterday that the phenomenal fall of the ruling communist regime occurred. And it was such a peaceful revolution, too, a model for other countries under human oppression to follow. Czechoslovakia at the time was once again restored to a great working democracy, which was so brutally and unfairly taken away by the Nazis and communists. The Czech people are suited for this form of government with positive cultural traits that allow it to flourish. And yes, freedom has flourished in the Czech Republic in recent years since the Velvet Revolution, allowing the natural order to take its course in economics, creativity, and expression. I still reflect in awe of what has occurred in that part of the world in 1989.
Thank you for the nice words. One consequence of the political changes has been a boom of tourism. This email has arrived from Tony Armiger from England.
I have just returned from my first visit to your wonderful city, and I wanted to let you know how much I enjoyed my stay. It's a truly beautiful place. The people are warm and friendly. The architecture is magnificent. And yes, of course, the beer is very good too. I've read many comments about street crime in Prague, and I must say I didn't have any experience of this. One must, of course, be vigilant in any city in this day and age. In fact, the only downside in my experience was the rowdy English people, who get too drunk and give a bad impression of us. We're not all hooligans, I assure you. It's a shame that Prague has become so expensive in recent years. But I guess that's the price we have to pay for its popularity as a tourist destination. Anyway, I shall certainly return next year, and I'm saving my pennies already.
Thank you for your kind words. And as we are running out of time, let me just repeat our competition question for November. We would like to know the name of the German industrialist born in what is now the Czech Republic, who was honored at the Yad Vashem Memorial in Israel in 1963 as one of the righteous among the nations for his actions during World War II. You have until Thursday to send us your answers to english@radio.cz or Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic.
Now, as every Sunday, we turn from your letters to a letter from us. This week's letter from Prague is by Emily Udell.
After a weekend in Hungary, it was with some relief when my train rolled into the Czech Republic, and I heard my first Dobrý den from the ticket inspector. Of course, going from Magyar to Czech was not a huge leg up for me personally. I've only been taking Czech lessons for about 2 months, and I admit the language still confounds me. Before I came to Prague, I rented the 5-CD set of Pimsleur Czech lessons, which I listened to dutifully while cleaning my apartment back in Chicago. I learned the greatest hits, the essential Dobrý den, Prosím, and Děkuju, as well as the ever-useful Mluvíte anglicky, or Do you speak English? But also some phrases like Kde je Vodíčková ulica, or Where is Vodíčková Street? Which I was not clear how I was supposed to use, as I am unable to understand a reply like, walk past the horse statue, go 3 blocks south, and hang a left. There are particular pronunciations in Czech that trip up the tongue of an American-born English speaker, most famously the special Czech R with a haček, or a kind of upside-down hat dangling over it. In my class textbook titled Czech for Everyone, on the list of pronunciations for the letters of the Czech alphabet, the column with the English sound equivalent is left ominously blank next to the R with the haček. For example, next to the Czech C with the haček, you can see that it is pronounced like the English CH as in the word cheese. Next to the R with the haček, nothing. I read this as, beware ye Anglophones, you are now entering uncharted, dangerous waters. When I first came to the Czech Republic, I thought this must be a country full of geniuses to have mastered this elusive language. Then my colleague at Radio Prague told me that Václav Havel has never mastered the R haček, which was some consolation. If an internationally loved and respected playwright and politician like Havel can't quite say it, there's a possibility I'm not a totally hopeless human being. My fellow language wranglers at the SF Service School are an eclectic mix of people, most of whom, unlike me, are learning Czech in their second or third language. I have colleagues from Japan, China, Spain, Germany, Norway, and Bosnia, all learning Czech and English. Some are working and some are studying in Prague, a testament to the myriad educational and economic opportunities here. Outside of class, I try to use my little cache of knowledge in stores and on the metro. Sometimes I practice my pronunciation under my breath while walking home from work or from the train, muttering like one a bit touched. But I'm determined to be able to do that dastardly R on command by the time I leave. So it seems the proper way to end this meditation on the challenges of Czech is by demonstrating my mastery of the letter. But if you've been listening to Radio Prague recently, you've heard my fumblings in weeks past. Too many stars have to align for it to actually come out of my mouth in the studio. So you'll just have to imagine me walking down Vinohradska Street late at night, forming the letter perfectly, making one perfect word, without a single person in earshot.
And thanks for that, Emily Udell. Heaven knows how long it took me to master the R. I would say a couple of years at least. You're tuned to Radio Prague, where it's now time for Encore with David Vaughan and Patricia Goodson.
And welcome to Encore. I'm Patricia Goodson.
And I'm David Vaughan.
And today we're starting with some Baroque music, which is not by a Czech composer.
Which seems to be becoming something of a habit. I seem to remember a couple of months ago we started with some Bach, also not a Czech composer.
Well, that's true. But all this music was heard here in Prague, and the piece we just heard may have been written here.
So let us know, who is it composed by?
Well, none other than Antonio Vivaldi of Four Seasons fame. And he visited Prague a couple of times, I think in 1729, 1730, and may have written this staying at an aristocratic patron's. And, you know, Prague is a tourist mecca now, but it has always attracted a lot of visitors.
And I know that certainly in Baroque times, at the time of the Counter-Reformation, there was a huge influx of of Italian artists, weren't they? Particularly architects and painters. You only have to look at the buildings of Prague to notice that.
Yes, and even in the countryside. So there was a whole lot of, I guess, cross-fertilization going on in all the arts. And there's a new CD that deals with this subject by the Prague Early Music Ensemble, Collegium Marianum.
They're always well worth looking out for, aren't they, Collegium Marianum?
Oh,
and
no.
I see that this CD doesn't just include Vivaldi, but also Caldara and Lotti, and also Italian composers, and also several Czech composers of the era.
Yes, and there are several pieces, in fact, perhaps some of the best pieces on the CD, by a composer I had never heard of, Jan Josef Ignaz Brentner, and he lived from 1689 to 1742. And hardly anything is known about him, except that he was born near Pilsen.
And, well, there is one other detail that I certainly found fascinating, is that his music actually reached South America, where it was brought by Jesuit missionaries, and has been found there in an archive in Bolivia.
Yeah, it's incredible.
really is cross-fertilization.
It really is. And as I said, I think his music is really quite good. So let's listen to now a bore, which is a quick dance. This is music of Jan Josef Ignaz Brentner.
The Collegium Marianum Ensemble with a bourré by Jan Josef Ignaz Brentner, a very little known Czech composer, but it's lovely music, on a new CD issued by Collegium Marianum, and it's entitled Music of Baroque Prague.
And before we leave this CD, I would like to include one more short excerpt from a piece by another Italian, Antonio Lotti. And I just think, because the soprano's voice is so lovely. This is part of a Domine Deus and sung by Constanze Backes, again with the Ensemble Collegium Marianum.
Soprano Constanze Backes with part of a lovely aria by Antonio Lotti, a composer whose work has been found in the archives of Prague's St. Vitus Cathedral, interestingly enough.
Yeah, and we're going to move now, however, to another cathedral, the Cathedral of St. Moritz in Kroměříž, and we'll hear some organ works, or part of an organ work, composed by yet another little-known composer, Josef Klička, who lived from 1855 to 1937.
And this, of course, is music from a very different period, from the Romantic era, these five concert fantasies for organ.
And they're kind of sprawling, free-ranging, moody pieces, and they make full use of the organ. Let's hear now a bit of the concert fantasy on the St. Wenceslas Chorale.
Which, I should point out, is not the ancient hymn, well-known here, used by so many patriotic Czech composers in their works, but a 19th-century version.
Right. organist Petr Rajnoha, with the opening section of Josef Glička's 1895 fantasy on the St. Wenceslaus Chorale. But let's turn now to something a little more contemporary. We've got a new CD here released by the Composer's Society, Přítomnost,
which you might remember we did feature on a fairly recent show.
Mm-hmm. And here is part of the second movement of a piano trio by Jiří Pazor, a composer and pianist born in 1971.
Certainly should have woken any sleepy listeners up. An excerpt from the Allegro Vivace movement of Jiří Pazor's Piano Trio No. 1, performed by the Academia Trio, Pavel Šafářík violin, Jaroslav Matějka cello, and Petr Jiříkovský piano. And that's all we do have time for today, but we would love to hear from you. Once again, I'd welcome any requests as well. So please do contact us at Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic. Or, of course, you can send us an email to english@radio.cz.
And we'll close today with another Přítomnost work called SOSQ by composer Vít Clár. Thank you for joining us. For Encore, I'm Patricia Goodson.
And I'm David Vaughan.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Ondes Courtes. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Sept heures vingt-sept, 5930, 7345, Europe. 8h30, 8h57, 9860, 11600, Europe. Dix-sept heures trente, 17h57, 5930, 15710, Europe, Afrique centrale. 19h30, 19h57, 5930, 9430, Europe, Afrique. 23h, 23h27, 5930, 7345, Amérique du Nord. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.